Hi, this is Todd, and you're listening to the Closing Mark Report. But before we get started with the program, and on Wednesdays we always talk with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services about the commodity markets and take a look at the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain. And we'll talk to Drew Lerner as well a little bit later in the program about the ag weather. But right now I wanted to take just a little bit of time to talk to you about the ag programming on WILL. Now, you know Dave Dickey is your director of agricultural programming here, and that I work with University of Illinois Extension and the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences and host the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Let me tell you a little bit about that relationship and what we hope it has meant for you. That the idea that these two organizations can work together across campus, that they can be affiliated through the University of Illinois but still have their sort of separate identities, and that they're capable of working together doesn't always go over very well. It's akin to the Farm Bureau, the American Agriculture Movement, working together sometimes. But it has happened here at the radio station. And it's been an enjoyable experience. I'm not saying that that these things don't happen across campus. They're just two separate entities. And the cross-campus cooperation is really quite amazing. It sets a different tone across campus. It's the kind of thing that campus-wide on the U of I campus and other places around the nation, the academics strive to do. And they talk about it. But they don't often get it done. Here at the radio station, it has happened. The outreach programs from University of Illinois Extension and the agricultural programming content that belongs to the radio station have merged into one entity of sorts that work together to bring you agricultural information day in and day out. It's important stuff. It really is. And I believe that. I know Dave Dickey believes that, too. By the way, Dave does an amazing job, in my opinion. If you've listened to him grow on the air over the last couple of years, there's nobody that I know that spends as much time looking at the markets and the numbers as Dave Dickey, beyond the brokers and those people who get paid to do it. Dave is in the market with his head every day. And I think it behooves you, if you haven't been listening to the opening and the pre-opening market report, those air at 8:50 and 9:50 respectively, you need to turn those on and listen to the questions Dave are asking the same analysts that I talked to in the afternoon. You'll get a different perspective. And I think it's important that you actually hear two sets of voices talking to these guys on the air, because I ask different questions than Dave does. I think differently than Dave does about this marketplace. And that's a good thing. It means that you get two sets of answers sometimes to the same questions. I think it probably makes you a better marketer. I hope it does. This programming content has been here for, 20 years now, or thereabouts. Maybe just a little bit more than that. I don't remember whether it started in 86 or 85. Maybe this is the 21st year for the Closing Market Report. Charles Lindy took on the job at that point and really kind of revamped the way things were happening on the air at WILL. But here's the bottom line. We need your support at the radio station. We really do. This is not like other radio stations. This station doesn't depend entirely on the underwriting, the advertisings. It's actually not very expensive to advertise, underwrite on WILL. We do get money from the federal and the state government, but we get a lot of the money that we operate on from you. It's a partnership, and that's the reason that ag programming sticks around. We have built a partnership with you, the farm audience, for decades, and I'm not talking about two decades. I'm talking about eight decades at this time. We've grown up here in this part of the world with your parents and your parents' parents. And we're hopeful that it's important to you that we're here every day. I hope it is. I think it is. If it is, please, 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 please pick up that cell phone right now. Don't wait. And I'll give you this number a lot of times during the next half hour, but don't wait. Do it now. And dial this number. It's 217-244-9455. That's 217-BIG-WILL. Pick up that number and dial the phone right now. Dave and I hope that we make a difference in the way you market your crop, in the way you think about agriculture, in the way you look at the international world, in the policy issues that you hear about, and in the production agriculture issues that you think about each and every day. It's what we strive to do. That's why we're here. We are here for you, the farm audience. And we're here 6 days a week. And it would be really nice if you'd give us a call right now. 217-244-9455. That's the number to call. In just a moment, we'll talk with Paul Cooley of Adem Investor Services.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this in the wheat pit. July contract for the soft red winter wheat at $4.11¾. They were off 8. September's at $4.25. We're off 8.5 today. July corn at $2.49.5, down 3.5. The SEPs at $2.61. We're down 3. Dease contract at $2.74¼, down 3¼. And the March corn futures down 2¾ at $2.84¾. July soybeans, $5.82½, down 4¼. August contract at $5.89, down 3¾. September beans at $5.94¾. They were off a nickel. And the November beans were down 3½ cents today at $6.07¼. Bean meal futures, July contract $172.30. They were up 50. July bean oil at $25.08, down 35. Feeder cattle from the Mercantile Exchange, 103.35. They were up 2½ cents. June live cattle at 77.95, up 32.5. And the June lean hogs, 40 cents higher today at $66.45 for the day. Outside markets, taking a quick look, crude oil at $69.80 a barrel. In the July contract, they're down $1.96. The CRB at 342.51, down 9.86. The dollar at 85.02. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11,092, off 5.6 for the day. And the gold futures trading the June contract at $637.50 are off $36 at this hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened, the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange, as he does every Wednesday afternoon and Wednesday morning, for that matter, Paul Cooley of Adem Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd. And, you know, one of the reasons back in 1984, I think we made a trip to the old Mumford Hall, not Mumford, but the
Gregory Hall.
What was the name?
Gregory.
Gregory Hall, and saw Charlie Lindy, and we came up with this idea of the afternoon market report and the early morning market report. And, you know, he took the football and ran with it, and, you know, it's been a fun thing, and I know it's been fun for the people in the Midwest to listen to it. And I know it's had influences on, you know, farm legislation and just the debate on it, and, you know, the farm bill, and we know that a lot of people listen to it in Wisconsin and Chicago and clear into southern Illinois. So it's an important part of the culture of the Midwest.
Well, thank you much. Hey, were you on the air? And I can remember being on the air as a student, and I think it was 85, November, December. And we used to do a program in the afternoon, and then we had, do you remember the time at which classical music on AM?
Yes. Two.
Yeah. And were you on the air as an analyst at that time as well?
Well, you know, we know that you used to go to, you know, Cargill, Tuscola for the hourly updates on the market reports. And, of course, Dan Simeone and was then and there. And, of course, you'd go to Cargill. And, of course, that was an important feature to get, you know, live market reports. And then, you know, when Charlie there started that, and then they expanded the coverage into the pre-calls and the noon updates and the afternoon and things like that, but and then Commodity Week. But classical music, I think, probably died somewhere in 1984 or 5.
Be careful. We still
because
have an
it
FM
changed,
radio station.
You know, we should say it's a popular item, I
oh,
think,
yeah,
on
it
the
is.
FM. But it, you know, got more talk radio concept.
Now, on the AM dial, certainly, and even on the FM. But the classical radio station here at WILL
is alive and well.
It does very well, and we have some very dedicated listeners, just like our ag listeners.
we also have a lot of respect for the change, and we sure support that.
Yeah, it was one of the things that makes WILL so unique in the public radio system is that we have an AM and FM, and they actually broadcast different things. That doesn't happen. I don't know, maybe one other station does that, but not many do that. We better talk about
the marketplace. But we do know that, governors listen to us, and we do know congressmen and a lot of state representatives and state senators, listen to us. So that's a real tribute to the station.
Yeah, we better talk about the markets at some time today, too.
Okay. Let's
start with the metals, with this fall off in the gold. What happened today?
Well, a couple of things that started from point A to point B. The Iranians came through with another olive branch to the U.S. government, and of course that was one of the things that started to sell off in the metals, and then the durable goods orders came in down 4.8%, and that was more or less a signal that, economy that's on fire is not all of a sudden on fire, and we're seeing the consumer back away from spending. And, of course, the logical thing is with higher interest rates slowing down the U.S. economy, the largest economy in the world, and also with these high energy prices basically slowing things down. But the energy broke. Everybody kind of shifted gears. And then the Informa Group came out overnight with their survey indicating more corn, more wheat, and less bean acres. And that was the other thing that just basically caused a good sell-off clear across from Chicago to New York as far as commodity trading was concerned.
How many acres does Informa say will be in the corn?
Well, it looks like 1.8 million, and the 79.8 million acres of corn increase, and the beans at 75.3 million acres, 1.6 million acres decrease, and a lot more spring wheat being planted. The day before, I spent some time with about three or four key locations that I usually call, and they all said that not only are we looking at unchanged acres in the West, we're looking probably at more in such key states as Nebraska, Iowa, and Minnesota. And whereas the survey by the USDA basically was smaller in those areas, and our informed people say it's actually even going to be bigger. The farmer just took the lead from basically ignored some high fertilizer prices and went on and planted the corn. And this is why we're seeing this shake up today in the wheat and the corn market.
Even if you look out, though, long term, does the ethanol demand and build up there mean that the U.S. will need those acres? And I suppose that there may be a different answer.
Yeah, and I think this is the point that's that most of the people are missing is that, they think that that this is only a one-shot deal up in energy and only a one-shot deal up in corn. We have a long growing season. We have some tremendous new things that are going now on in the energy ethanol market, and it's not just little things. It's worldwide big things that are going on, not only here in the U.S., but Brazil and Europe and China, and it all spells demand, and that's what makes it so interesting and so dynamic, and that's where I kind of get scared when I hear people out selling not only big time this year's crop, but also next year's crop as well. So, I get a little concerned when I see all this demand out there. And I'd almost bet a dollar that it's going to be awfully hard to ever see $2 in the 10-cent gasoline at your local drive-in gasoline station in Champaign-Urbana.
You can be pretty bullish on the corn side, and it sounds like you're either friendly to bullish.
You have to be somewhat supportive, even though we do get 2 million more acres of, maybe a slightly under last year's production. So, the acreage is a little bearish, but it's still a long growing season, and longer term, there is tremendous demand out there.
Is there a different sort of scenario playing out in your mind in the bean pit?
Yeah, it's different, and it's interesting to see how beans have basically ignored the fundamentals and the large carryover. And my general opinion is that, when we go out and talk to people, they are holding a mountain of soybeans. Some of the surveys say that twice the amount of soybeans out there in the country elevator being stored by the farmer than they did a year ago. And the same thing that we understand has been being done in South America. So the worldwide inventory of soybeans is being supported by the Commodity Credit Corporation loans to the farmer. He's holding a big supply of soybeans, waiting either for the rust rally or either the dry weather rally. And these people have played their game before and won, and they're going to try to play the game again, waiting for that July-August time frame
I guess you think that's a dangerous game.
Well, you know, after an Outlook meeting, we shake hands and we hug each other and we wish each other well, and the verdict is still out. Sometimes they win and sometimes they don't, and this year it's going to be an interesting deal. Sometimes the answer isn't known until that July-August time frame, and we have to stay tuned.
Indeed, that's the case. And then the other thing that I kind of wanted to talk about, and Dave Dickey and I were talking about this before we came on the air, is this family in Indonesia that all seven, I believe, passed away of the human form of the bird flu, and that's kind of an interesting thing to watch unfold. Have you been following that one at all?
Well, it's an important item in the news. One thing that we have to say is this isn't 1950 or 1930 or 1890. You know, things have improved a little bit, as far as our science and everything's concerned. So it's a factor, but I put it back on page 4 or 5. I don't think it's a front page item to worry about.
Yeah, I haven't read too much about it, but Dave and I were talking about it, and apparently WHO is waiting to say whether this is something that it mutated and actually passed on from one to the other, because they can't find another animal on the farm or wherever it was that was sick. But maybe they just got hold of a raw, they just didn't cook a chicken correctly and it happened to be infected, or more likely maybe they got hold of a game animal that was infected, and that was the problem.
We're having a very tough time getting soybeans through the ground, and it's this forecast could help some beans up through the ground, and so this is probably something that's going to be watched at least over here on East Central Illinois, because if things don't cooperate, there's going to have to be a lot of soybean acres replanted over here on this east side of the state.
Paul, thanks much for joining us today.
Profitable day, Todd.
You
fun
too.
To talk to you.
Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Wednesday afternoons.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
At the bottom of the hour, Drew Lerner will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Our own Ed Kieser says tonight across the two-state region, mostly cloudy skies, a few showers, some thunderstorms too. The lows will range this evening from 60 in the north to 68 in the south. Tomorrow, he says, in the northern sections, mostly cloudy, some areas of rain, a few thunderstorms. Elsewhere, a mix of clouds, some sunshine, scattered showers, and some thunderstorms too. Highs tomorrow from 76 in northern Illinois to 88 in the far south. By the way, a tornado watch in effect for much of west central Illinois. That until 8 p.m. Central Time this evening. Well, boom, boom, boom. It's time. It's time now to pick up that phone and dial this number, 217-244-9455. That's 217-244-BIGWELL. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. Make those phones ring for me this afternoon. Dave Dickey's in Pledge Central. Dave, it's time for everybody to get up on the horse and come to the trough. And it's time to make that call at 217-244-9455.
Yes, it is indeed, Todd. And as I came in this afternoon and was doing some math, I was looking at the board and I see we're 14 phone calls away from a round number, 50, in the Farm Credit Services and Agri-Gold Hybrids Challenge. You know, they're teaming together to encourage our agricultural audience to support them in supporting AM 580 Agriculture. And both of those organizations are adding $5 each, a total of $10 for every pledge at the basic membership level or more. Up to 100 pledges, that's $1,000 on the table right now. And I tell you what, If we can get to 50 today, I'll even open my wallet and add $150 to the pledge total as well. It takes one phone call at a time, though. You be the first, 217-244-9455, the number to call. Visa, MasterCard, Discover, American Express, all accepted. And Todd, it's been a grand day so far for AM 580 Agriculture. We need to keep it going.
Oh, yeah. We got to keep things going this afternoon. Once again, you need to pick that phone up, 217-244-9455. This is an easy thing to do, $40, $100 bill. That's kind of where Dave and I like to think you ought to be coming in at. But $40, $80, $70, $100, $260, $500, whatever you're able to give. That's the important part. Dave and I work pretty hard here. We work for you, and we're hopeful that it makes a difference. If it does, if you like to listen to the weather segments, if you like to listen to what's happening in the morning or the afternoon, you hear Commodity Week, you think the ag programming that's up on the website is absolutely necessary for you because you don't happen to be able to hear it on the radio station or you miss the program on the radio station during the day, you can go back and pick it up as an MP3 file or as a podcast, and those things are important, then now's the time to call 217-244-9455. That's 217-BIG-WILL, and make your pledge of financial support to this radio station. Speaking of people that help out the radio station on Wednesday afternoons, we always talk with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana, about the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Kay.
And a good afternoon to you, Todd.
And in your area, farmers a little happier moving around in the field?
They finally are getting back out there in earnest. There's just planters rolling everywhere. It's very quiet in here, but we're probably maybe half done in beans at this point and approaching the final numbers in corn, but there's going to be a lot of replant, but that's going to have to be assessed later. But, yeah, they're all out there, Todd.
And the drop in the cash market, in the market the day, did that consequently move the cash market down as much as well?
Well, yes, the cash market did move down. This market's in a downturn, and you know, it's not only weather and everything else guiding it, but these inflationary pressures and crude oil, and the metals were down today, so it took the grain down too. But right now, they're worried about getting planted. They're just not thinking about selling grain at this point.
But what's your feeling about the marketplace over this coming year and where people ought to be situating themselves at this point in terms of cash sales?
There's going to be an extreme amount of volatility this year. It's going to be a very interesting market. You've got a lot of factors involved here, and you know, if we get back to the levels where we were before this market started selling off, I don't think it would hurt to look at some corn out in the next year. I don't think I'd want to touch beans out there. You know, beans could be the wild card here if we lure enough acres over to corn as far as ethanol is concerned. So, you know, right now I think they need to be taking advantage of some of the cash that they've got in their bins and then worry about new crop prices maybe a little later down the road if we have a weather scare.
Speaking of old and new crop prices, what are your bids for the afternoon?
All right, our cash corn today is $2.26, cash beans are $5.63, and wheat today is $3.52.
Thanks much. We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Kay Whitlock is with Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. She joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens on Wednesday afternoons. In about 2 minutes, we'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Drew Lerner. You've just got a few seconds, couple minutes then, before we get to the ag programming. It might be time for you to pick up the phone right now and dial this number. It's 217-244-9455. That's 217-BIG-WILL. Call in with your support of the ag programming to WILL. And pledge your financial support. Do it now. Do it today. Don't wait. Right now is the proper time to do it. The number to call, it's easy, 217-244-9455. It only takes a couple of minutes to get this done. And we'll take Visa, MasterCard, Discover, American Express. All you have to do is call in and tell us that you want to pledge your financial support to the ag programming at WILL. Time now for your regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Republican Lieutenant Governor candidate Joe Burkett says Governor Blagojevich's plan to sell or lease the state lottery to fund education is another in a familiar pattern of quick-fix proposals. Campaigning this morning in Urbana, Burkett called the proposal a shell game that would only add to Illinois' debt in the long run. Burkett says he and GOP gubernatorial candidate Judy Bartopinka are looking at other school funding proposals, including one that would require that 65% of every dollar spent on education go directly to classrooms. A state worker fired by the Blagojevich administration for allegedly rigging job applications complained about the number of outside contractors her agency was hiring weeks before an investigation into her activities began. Don DeFrates argued in an email from 2004 obtained by the Associated Press that the Illinois Department of Central Management Services was hiring too many outside consultants to review her personnel bureau. A CMS spokesperson says the complaint is evidence DeFrates feared the scrutiny that later got her fired. A waiting list is growing, or rather a waiting list is starting to grow at a new housing development in Champaign, located at what was once the Birch Village Public Housing Project. The managers of the new Douglas Square say they're eager to fill the new houses and duplexes with people of all races and a range of incomes. And community leaders say Douglas Square is an improvement over Birch Village and the crime problems that it suffered. An environmental advocacy group says Indiana does better than some states in controlling pollution from school buses. The Union of Concerned Scientists says soot from diesel exhausts has been linked with asthma, heart disease, cancer, and other problems. Deer are being blamed for attacks on three more people on Southern Illinois University's campus in Carbondale. The latest encounters happened separately yesterday within minutes of each other on a footpath along Campus Lake, prompting speculation that the same doe was responsible. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner, the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the weather here in the Midwest, please.
Well, it looks like we are going to shift gears after we get through a scattered showers and thunderstorms over the next 36 hours. We will shift into a drier, warmer mode. A ridge of high pressure is expected to develop across the region as we go into the weekend and the early part of next week. That is likely to stymie rainfall potentials across the region and allow those temperatures to rise above average. By the time we get to the first part of next week, we'll be looking at 80 and lower 90 degree temperatures across a large portion of the Midwest. That will help to stimulate some improvement in corn development across the region after all that cool weather we had earlier this month. It will also accelerate evaporation, but that will be a beneficial thing, too, for many areas, and some areas in the Midwest are still plenty moist. That is not the case, though, in the western Corn Belt. Some of that region out there in the western fringes of the region are already too dry. The showers and thunderstorms that occurred last night were certainly welcome in some of that region, but it wasn't enough, and there is going to be some additional drying that occurs across that region now as we move forward over the next full week. So further relief will be necessary from Kansas and Missouri up into North Dakota. Those areas are the driest in the western fringes of Corn Belt country. Also, the Delta has been drying out quite a bit as well. All of these areas will see temperatures more solidly in the upper 80s and 90s this weekend and early next week to help aggravate the whole situation. That's going to make a lot of pressure for rainfall during the latter part of next week when we get the next opportunity for cooling to come across the region.
Have you taken a longer-term estimate of what the weather might be like for the summer? For instance, will the dry weather conditions continue out west, and might that spread to the eastern portions of the Corn Belt?
Well, I certainly believe that the western Corn Belt is definitely in a position here to experience some stress this summer. The drier biases that are present in the plains right now will be a persistent feature. There's no way that that region is going to get enough relief over the next few weeks to make a difference when we get into the heart of summer. That means that a high-pressure ridge that is likely to develop across the plains this summer is going to straddle the western Corn Belt, raising the bar of potential for dryness and crop moisture stress to expand into the western Corn Belt. And yes, I think there is some potential that as we get into the late July-August period, we may also tend to dry out some of the eastern portions of the Corn Belt. It'll be a slower process. It probably won't be as extreme there as it will be in places like Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska, and Iowa. Those states will all be vulnerable to some pretty serious moisture stress at times during the summer, and the same may be true for the Delta.
Tell me a little bit more about Iowa. Of course, they lead the nation in both corn and soybean production last year.
That's right. And right now, it looks like the focus of concern for Iowa will be on western and southern portions of the state, more so than the northeast. But we should see Iowa dry out as we move forward in time. We've already seen some firming in the topsoil here in the last week. We did get some showers, like I said, last night, but we're going to seesaw back and forth between some showers and a high-pressure ridge as we go through the month of June, but we probably won't get into any persistent serious dryness until we get into late June or July, and I think at that point the ridge of high pressure will be fairly well established, and I do believe that western and southern Iowa, as well as the rest of the westernmost sections of the region, will be vulnerable to some persistent hot, dry weather. Not necessarily temperatures pushing up around 100 on a regular basis, but still readings in the 90s with a limited amount of precipitation will still create some stress for some of that crop region. I don't want to leave the wrong impression. There will be some rainfall. It's not going to be a terrible drought in the true sense of the word, but I do think that the drier bias will be with us, and we will lose some yield potential this year.
Drew, thanks much.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is the Senior Agricultural Meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at LincolnLandAgriEnergy.com.
Well, that is this afternoon's Closing Market Report. Hey, if you get the opportunity, pick up that phone and dial in your financial support to this radio station at 217-244-9455. That's 217-BIGWELL. Have a safe afternoon out there. I'm Todd Gleason.